it was in the regular service, you know, I'd have flip back and, you know, we do it one more time. You know, we'd turn a 5-minute song into a 15-minute one, but we won't do this morning. But because we all need prayer, because so much is going on, and in a survey that we sent out to the membership, one of the things they told us, they wanted to hear a word of hope, a word of encouragement. And so I tagged that text this morning, the suffering we are enduring. The suffering we are enduring. Let us pray. Search me, O Lord. Know my heart, know my mind. And because I'm human, because I'm a sinner, there are things destructive in me that need to be removed. Give me clarity, O Lord, of sight, speech, and of mind. Because this was a difficult word. This was a hard word. But it's a word that needs to be preached on this day. And so, Lord, as Corona has slowed us all down, sometimes yesterday I felt a little weak. But I'm going to call on you one more time because I stand on your promise. You can do it again. And I give you all honor, glory, and praise. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. The suffering we are enduring. You know, since March 22nd on every Sunday, I've stood behind this sacred desk. In addition to preaching Jesus, I tried to preach our name, hope. On Resurrection Sunday, it was eternal hope. However, in days like these, days that I've never experienced before, days that you have never experienced before, we need a special kind of hope. For the days preceding that first sermon on March 22nd, even though there were signs and warnings that danger was on the way, we were fed mixed messages every day. We were told that things were under control. We were told that the virus would just go away. And then that was this lie that gave us false hope, that as a people, the virus would not affect us. 6 weeks later, we know the virus affects us in higher numbers. We did not know what to expect 6 weeks ago as businesses and the church buildings were shut down. Remember, it was the building, it wasn't the church. And we still don't know what lies ahead. We had no idea how much suffering would be inflicted in our communities. For many have lost family members and friends. COVID-19 even made it into this congregation. And our circle has been broken right up here in this family we call New Hope Fellowship. Suffering, though, is nothing new. Suffering has been around for a long time. In fact, what is thought to be the oldest book in the Bible, Job, was written to explain why bad things happen to good people. The last time I saw pain and suffering inflicted in such a way was during the Vietnam War. Oh, I saw the protests. I saw it destroy a presidency. I listened to and watched the news reports as the death toll mounted each and every day. I heard along with family members of the men who were included among the missing and the dead. But you know, it's strange, we still don't acknowledge the suffering that was inflicted to the other side. But what's so frightening this morning is that in just 60 days, we have seen more people die of COVID-19 than those who died in the 9 years of the fierce battles of the Vietnam War. So I have and have continued to ask myself, why are so many innocent people suffering? The people in the text were suffering because of their belief. Their belief that Jesus made them different from others in their community. Oh, see, the church was very different in its early years. The church changed culture rather than letting culture change the church. Or somebody's going to get that way on the night at home. And because that was their character, they suffered. And see, it bothers me when I hear Christians in these United States today talking about they're being persecuted. They don't know what persecution is. What they are suffering is loss of privilege. But many Christians enjoy telling other people how to live instead of living a life that other people would want to live. But when it comes to this present suffering, COVID-19 is not a respecter of belief or non-belief. COVID-19 has claimed both saint and sinner and caused suffering to those who love them. In our case, the virus seems to take a toll on us because of multiple factors that come together and make things even worse. The suffering that we're already enduring makes us suffer even more. See, our biggest hurdle in life is our income. Last week, the chairman of the Federal Reserve talked about that, and in essence, he said, he didn't say it this way, this way it goes, said, after 9 years of the rich getting richer, money was finally trickling down to poor folks. And COVID-19 cut that off. See, that limited income denies us of so many things. Access to adequate health care, affordable housing, along with access to fresh food. And that lack of fresh food leads to diseases like high blood pressure and diabetes. And those diseases progress aggressively because of the lack of access to health care. And then we're told that those diseases make us more vulnerable. See, when it comes to the writer of our text, all he could do for those enduring suffering was to offer some words of encouragement. Tell their readers their reward and glory would be greater for their suffering on earth. But as a church of today, we need to do more. We need to bring a little bit more of heaven right here on earth. For in too many instances, we the people working on the front line putting us at more risk. In urban areas, too many of us have to use public transportation where physical separation is a joke. See, I have a duty to share the good news of Jesus. However, since as a pastor, I'm empowered as a health educator, I need to continue to teach about health. I need to offer tools so that people can get their finances in order. We need as a church to take advantage of all this land that the Lord has blessed us with and grow some good food. I got to teach how we should love one another so that we can put our money together and go into business for ourselves. But we always selling ourselves short, thinking we don't have enough. Well, our not enough continues to make other preaching people richer all the time. See, we need to become that church of Acts 2:42 through 47 where no one was in need. Maybe then some of our suffering wouldn't be so great. Second chapter, 1 Peter speaks of a lot of things. Getting rid of ill will, getting rid of deceit, pretense, envy, slander, things that some Christians still need to get out of their life. Being called God's people. But if there's anything I want people to call me, I want them to call me a child of God. Bring people of the light and not darkness, for darkness will mess you up. I must admit I have a problem when the writer says to submit to every human institution. And you know I have a problem with household slaves submitting to their masters, even though it's in the book. See, I just got to be honest and tell it like it is. And see, a lot of people stay away from Christians because we know the truth and sometimes we don't tell it. And see, that's why I didn't get up here this morning and say this book was written by Peter. But in so many cases in that day, 1st and 2nd Peter were written by somebody else using Peter's name. Amen. Like preacher, pastor. With that said, let's dig into this text and try to help somebody who's suffering. Text starts by talking about two reasons for suffering. Suffering for good or suffering for evil. To me, suffering is suffering. I guess when you know you've done the wrong thing and you have to suffer, you justify that. However, I learned when I was studying the freedom doctrines, the story of how black people made it through the worst form of slavery this world has ever seen. They made it because they had a theological explanation for what was happening. So as a theologian, let me try to explain the suffering from this virus in this way. Because God allowed hate speech to become front and center in our nation. Because God allowed concentration camps to be set up within our borders. Because God allowed the focus of too many to be the size of their bank accounts and their 401k. Oh, God allowed this virus to come and take both saints and sinners. And for somebody who might say, how could God be so cruel? I gotta ask the question, how many Christians have prayed that God would bring the circus in our nation's capital to an end? And the key to understanding what's going on this morning is one understanding of God. And the sad fact this morning is, too many people have been in the church all of their lives, and they don't have a personal understanding of Almighty God. See, our understanding is based too many times on what others have told us, instead of taking the time to learn about God for yourself. See, you can't endure your suffering based on my understanding of God, mama's understanding, or grandma's understanding. You got to understand God for yourself, especially when the pain of your suffering seems to be, or you know that it isn't just. So, but it's not natural for a child to die before their parents. It's not fair that my father, who worked day and night for I don't know how many years, when I joined him, it was the happiest day of his life. He could finally enjoy some of the things of his life because he'd been working since 1918 when he was 12 years old. And his father died of the Spanish flu. It's just that one evening, he went home, sat down in his chair, got himself a beer, and he died. I suffered. I had a problem with God. And I only learned, and only when I learned how to understand God for myself, could I handle that pain, could I handle that hurt of what at that time had been the worst thing that had ever happened in my life. And because suffering shows up so much in our lives, we need endurance, the ability to keep on keeping on. See, just keep on living, and suffering will keep showing up. Am I the only one that suffering has that mobile number and can text me 24/7? See, suffering will show up no matter who you are. And it seems that the more you try to do right, the more you try to follow Jesus, suffering has a way to make it into your front door. See, I'm not going to even deal with the first part of verse 20. All I can say is if you do it wrong, ask God for forgiveness, do the same for whoever you've offended, and then try to turn your life around. But for those who are trying to live right, those who are trying to do what thus said the Lord, and if you try to do that, speak up against injustice. Call out economic and social systems that are wrong. Sometimes just standing up and telling the truth, you're going to have to learn how to endure. Because doing good today has a way of turning people against you. And when they turn against you, you'll suffer. Because I know how I've suffered. See, I'm going to turn this thing a little further than the way it does. See, the suffering that we endure will not only be commendable to God when we get to heaven, it's going to be commendable to God right here on earth. It's going to be commendable in a way of bringing about change. But from what I hear, from what I read, and what I see, the world we live in, it needs a whole lot of change. Is there anybody other than me who feels that this world needs change? I want to see some hearts go up on the screen. Change. So that so many would not have to suffer. And then our text reminds us, we are called on this kind of endurance because Jesus suffered on your behalf. I know we like to say, Jesus paid it all. But eternal life and glory had a cost. Peace on earth with God is not free. And that's the fact, that's why preachers need to stop telling people your life is going to get better when you give your life to God. Say all you got to do is walk down the aisle, give your hand to the preacher, get in the water, be baptized. When you come up, you're going to be new. However, there's going to be a target on your back. Because evil has one more person that evil needs to mess up for. It seems to me, it doesn't seem to you, that when you don't care, when messing up in your life is an hourly thing, pure troubles come into your life. Well, sometimes that's the case because you are a threat to the state of disorder that evil wants to continue to exist. I know we're suffering, but think about the people who are suffering even more. Our brothers and sisters who are victims of mass incarceration. And we don't even question. We enjoy so many other things because other people suffer. That tablet or smartphone you're watching this worship service on. Somebody made it, we enjoyed it, and they are suffering. The shoes and clothes we have, the same holds true. We get to purchase gasoline and oil cheaper than any other country in the world. Yet children in Syria who live within miles of all that oil reserve, they died because there was no heating fuel to heat the places where they were living. Some of the diamonds that we wear, they are called blood diamonds because the blood of children was shed so that we might work. And I'm not taking lightly the suffering that people are enduring in this land right now. People on ventilators for 50 days. Family members not being able to tell their loved ones goodbye or unable to visit their parents in nursing homes. It's just that as we endure for what is a moment in eternity, think of the suffering others will endure that never come to an end on this side. Because of the suffering, let's appreciate life. Because there are people who say, all I'm worried about is the value of my 401k. And this morning, some of them, they in that grave, and somebody is running through that 401k like the prodigal son ran through his inheritance. See, appreciate the people that God has placed in your life. Encourage them. Work with them. See, as churches, when we open back up, we got to get rid of all the foolishness of who can do what and what people can do. Let everybody do their part to bring God's kingdom to us. And I'm so glad this morning we have an example. As Christians, we need to be examples. Examples of how people treat one another. Example of people with good work ethics. Examples of honesty. Examples of concern. Examples as good parents and good husbands and wives. And because we have an example. An example that is eternal. Name Jesus. For as the preeding example, verse said, Jesus left an example that we might follow in his footsteps. But then he healed the sick. Then he raised the dead. And even though we might not be able to raise up a dead body, we should be able to raise up some dead spirits that walk the streets even every day. He fed the hungry. That's something as a community we can do. He clothed the naked. He spent 3 years leaving words that show us how we should live. But it says, yet he committed no sin, nor did he speak in words to the sin. I'm a sinner. We all sinners. However, we should all be trying to get back. And just like Jesus, I'm going to tell the truth. You should be telling the truth. Even though people are going to get mad when you tell them. I don't play with the word of God. That was a hard word to preach. In fact, I know some people that got so hard for them, they just dropped off and said, I can't watch what that man's preaching. See, because I told it like it was. The facts about suffering are hard and how suffering is a person in life. I'm not going to deceive anybody like Jesus. When he was insulted, he didn't reply with insult. He didn't call anybody names. And you don't have to do either. Because no matter what you say, no matter how bad you might make them feel, you are still in the same place. In fact, you might have lowered yourself a little bit more. When Jesus saw, he didn't pray. Jesus didn't try to find anybody to pray. But Jesus knew what he had to face. He knew what he had to face when he stepped down from glory. So instead, he entrusted himself to God. See, that's why I said earlier, get an understanding of the character of God. Because when your burdens get too heavy, when you don't know which way to turn, when you're ready to give up, if you know the character of God, you will have the power that you can entrust yourself with. A power that is greater than anything this earth might have. And because he did, our sins were carried by his body on that old rugged cross so that we could live right life and be right with God. Because by his stripes or by his wounds, whatever your way you want to say it, we are here this morning. For those who lost family members, I feel your pain. For those who lost your jobs, I've been furloughed from the side hustle I've had. To those who suffered because of doing right, that's my story. It's just that I know, and this I believe, that God has taken care of me, and God will take care of you. God will. I said God will. In this suffering that so many of us are enduring, God will take care of you. And because I know the courage of God, of my golden days might be coming to an end, but I know that God will, just like God will take care of you. God will. I said God will. God's going to take care of me, God. Good day, New Hope Fellowship Nation. May the Lord bless you real good. But while I'm on my way to glory, give God some thanks in this place. Give God some praise. Because in all our suffering, God still provides. God still watches over us. God still takes care of us. God still comforts us. God still, I said God still, does everything well. We praise you. We thank you for being God. Be the God that you have. Just get an understanding of yourself. Of who God is. And what God is all about. And God, he won't wait for you. God will come and have a little talk with you. And when God has a little talk with you, everything is going to be all right. Amen. Amen. Amen.